This time we're going to look at some Psalms, but mostly Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest Psalm and book in the Bible. There's a lot of verses to it. Each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet are reflected in 10, so to speak, verses or more, or maybe less, but 8 to 10 or something like that in each one of those. As a matter of fact, it may be 8 always. Looks like it is. So if you want to divide it up by, I think there's 22 letters in the Hebrew, so 22 by 8. So this psalm is very interesting. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. So get in the way, get in the path. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in all his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently, not casually. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. So you have to learn. If you just grew up, you could not possibly know how to walk righteously. If you just grew up, you cannot know this naturally. You have to be taught. And that's why the church is something important. It's one of the things it does is teach. And the synagogue teaches also, particularly the law. The gospel is thinner in the synagogue, and it's thicker in the churches, but that doesn't mean there's any real difference. Many times Christians live rather legalistically and don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them and lead them. So it isn't the letter of the law that kills, it's the spirit of the law. So you could read the law in terms of its letter and miss it, but I don't. When I read it through the eyes of the gospel, through the and when you raise children, raise them under the law. Do you teach them the Ten Commandments and the law of God? Of course. But do you teach them about Jesus? Of course. Because they're bound to break the law. When you teach the law, they're going to break it. There's no way that if you teach the law, people are going to keep it. They can legalistically, outwardly keep it, but they can't inwardly keep it. So all the gospel is the keeping of the law from the heart. It's just you willing to do it. It's just the Holy Spirit in you doing it. That's all. So there's no difference between the law and the gospel in that sense. Is the one is teaching you what you ought to do, but it doesn't help you to do it. It doesn't forgive you for not doing it. It doesn't help you to do it. But the gospel not only forgives you, but it helps you. So the law does one thing, tells you what to do. The gospel does two things. Forgives you for not doing it, then helps you to do it. See, that's a pretty good deal. Two for one. So the law is very beneficial because it shows you your guilt. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The gospel is better. Gives you two things. I forgive you for not doing good, and I'll help you to do good. Very good. So the blood is where the mercy comes from. The Holy Spirit is where the power comes from. So in the end, the law is all of one piece. Tells me what to do, forgives me for not doing it, then helps me to do it. You see that? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three. The Father tells me what to do. He's the Holy One. The Son forgives me for not doing it. He's the Merciful One. The Holy Spirit enables me to do what I couldn't do apart from Him, but what I can now do through Him, in Him, by Him, that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So there it is, all three working together beautifully, one God. In child raising, you have to learn the, tonight we're going to learn all about the rod and the staff. The rod and the staff. Now, when you raise children, you want to instruct them about Jesus and so on. You want to instruct them in the law. You want to instruct them the right way to go and the wrong way not to go. Don't go that way, do go this way. And so we're going to learn about that as we study these different. I've written down 10 little sentences or lessons about child rearing, and we've been looking at that for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I like this next one. I'll keep thy statutes. Don't forsake me utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? Boy, Many a young man asks that question, how can a young man keep clean? Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? So this is something that a young man, all young men ask this, by the way. Young men know, they've been told, go to church, do right, don't do wrong. But it doesn't matter. Wherewith shall a young man walk clean? How can he walk clean? Young men are filled with unclean thoughts and so on and so forth. How's he going to walk clean? How can you, as a mom, make sure your boys are walking clean? Because if they don't, it's going to be tough for them. It's going to be tough for them. So you have to teach them how to do it. And you know what? Not easy. How? How can you do it? Ah, here it is. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, hide that word in his heart. Train up a child when he's young. When he's old, he won't depart from it. So that's the way to raise up children, boys and girls. But particularly this one is saying a young man. How does a young man keep pure in a day like this? In a day where it's so easy to fall off. My kids were all virgin when they were married. How do you do it? How can you have a boy, particularly, how can you have girls stay virgin? How can you have them not be tainted? How can you, in this world at this time, it's easy, piece of cake. All you have to do is obey the Lord. It's the parent that's the key, not the child. It isn't the children that are the key, it's the parent that's the key. Why, just spank the dickens out of them. That's what did it. No, that won't do it. Spanking the dickens out of them will not do it. I just taught them. No, that won't do it either. By mere words alone, my servant is not taught. You can't teach a servant just by words. Hey, go do this, don't do that. That's not enough. You also have to have the rod. The rod and instruction. You instruct them, then you discipline them when they break the instruction. Then you better have the power of the Holy Spirit. You better have the gospel. Just knowing the law itself doesn't give you the spirit of the law. Just knowing the letter of the law doesn't give you the spirit of the law. So how are you going to get that? Well, here's one way. Hide that word in your heart. When they were young, I didn't teach them so much about the gospel, though I always threw that in. But I was really mostly on the law. Do what I say. And that's all. I pumped that into them. I just beat the tar out of them. You're going to do what I say. And I broke their will. First thing I did when I saw those kids coming forth, okay, I give you 12 months. And then I'm going to whip you. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to spank you till, do you get what I got when I was a kid? No, I didn't do it that way. But I was really excited about that. I disciplined my kids with love. It was a loving thing. I loved doing it. I loved spanking boys and girls. I loved doing it because I knew that's the only way you can break sin. Why? Because I grew up and I know how tough it was to break sin. You can't just break it by, spankings, and you can't break it just by talkings, and you can't just break it by examplings. How do you break it? It's not so easy. So that's why people today, especially today when we have so much lawlessness and then people trying legalistically to protect their kids, it won't work. You got to have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to raise your kids. Amen? So wherewith shall a young man, verse 9, cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Now, you got to have a lot of word in you, Dave. You got to have a lot of word in you. But I'm telling you, that word will do it. That's how I learned. See, I was already an old man by the time I learned, but it worked. I mean, I was getting to it late, but it worked. I'd already done all the wrong things, so I knew how to do the wrong. I just didn't know how to do the right. I didn't know where the power came from. I didn't know about the power of the Holy Spirit. So I not only needed the Father to tell me what was right, instruct me. I not only needed the Father to discipline me when I did wrong, I needed Jesus to forgive me and show mercy to me, and then I needed the power of the Holy Spirit to help me. I needed all of it. And once I learned it, and I was excited to teach it to my kids. I thought, you know what? I learned it late, but hey, praise God, at least I learned it. And I'm going to do the same with my kids. I will not spare the rod and spoil the child. I'm not going to do that. Nor am I just going to give them teachings. I mean, at first, I kind of thought that was the way. Just give them teachings, and they'll be okay. I've learned that. Nope, that doesn't work. Because you say, did you hear me? And they can spit it right back at you. So apparently, they heard me, but they didn't do it. So hearing is not the same thing as doing. I mean, I learned that right off. Is, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, wait, when I say hear, I mean like heed. You know, hear, did it go in one ear and come out the other? No, I mean hear and do. Do you see what I'm saying? And then what about understand? Hear and understand and do. Hear, understand, do. Did you understand me? I would say to my kids sometimes, did you understand what your mother just said? So I tell you, raising children is it's tough. But you know what? If you can't do it, you didn't learn yourself. You better go back to yourself and learn. Only he who is under authority can exercise over another. Unless you're not under, you can't be over. You got to be under God in order to be over your children. So first thing you want to do as a parent is learn you be the child of God. First thing you want to do, you learn to be a child. You learn to be God's child. You're under God, then those that are under you will be blessed. If you're obedient to God, they'll be obedient to you. I just learned that, Barbara. I just thought, wow, you know, that's interesting because I'm not that under. But I'm going to get myself under. So by the time Carl was born, I thought to myself, I got about a year or so before she catch me. I better get close to Jesus right now. She's going to catch me. I knew she would. I knew she'd find out all my foibles and everything I'd hidden and whatnot. She'd figure it out because little kids are real sharp. And Peggy might even tell them. So yeah, I had to kind of hurry up, you know. So, oh God, we're on a, you know, a hurry up program here before she gets too old. I figured I had a couple of years before she'd probably admire me for a year or so, and then she'd start seeing how phony I was and all that. But I knew, you know what? I better become. I'm not very obedient. I'm not very disciplined. I better come under the discipline, the fear and admonition of the Lord. The fear and instruction. The discipline and instruction. So I learned, oh, one and then two. One, two. So which one is first? The rod is actually first. You can give instruction all day long, but with no rod, it's not going to go anywhere. You got to back up that instruction with the rod. You see what I'm saying? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ah. So there's where people begin to change their mind. If you have the rod, that they won't, no, that won't comfort you. If they have the staff, that won't comfort you. But if you have the rod and staff together, if you have law and gospel, if you have, you know, fear and discipline, you got to have everything. You got to have it all. Somehow put it all together. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whatever it is, I want all of that. That's what it's going to take. And, you know, it works. I can just tell you, it works. 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That scripture right there, very powerful to me. Wow. You know why I'm so sinful and wicked, I said to myself when I was a new Christian? Psh, I don't have enough word in me. I need to get a bunch of word in me. I'm just going to put it in there. So I just started stuffing it down. I was on a diet. I was on a word diet. Now, I'm going to teach you tonight in such a practical way, simple way, how do you raise children, or how do your children raise children, and you grandparent, how do you do it in such a way you don't spoil them and destroy them? How do you do it in such a way that you have no control over them at all? Children need to be controlled. They're not going to be self-controlling. No child, you know, grows up self-controlling. Self-government comes when you're an adult. So what's going to make you control yourself? You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to have a lot of Holy Ghost in you. You got to be loaded with the Spirit of God. You got to have the Word in you. Then you have to have the Holy Ghost in you to work with that Word, and that Word to work with the Holy Ghost. And you got to have both of them. Amen. So let's look here at the little thing I've written out, and I love this Psalm 119. It's, I delight myself in thy commandments, verse 47. 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, that rod is good. If you're not afflicted, I'm telling you, sometimes the things you do, it's kind of an affliction. You know what I'm saying? Uh-oh, the way I raised my child, it's kind of afflicting me now. And that, then you kind of, oh, yeah, it's kind of good because it's showing me right there I goofed up. I goofed up. Peggy, I know, has really experienced this where she can see, uh-oh, I didn't do it exactly right. Now it's coming back to get me. What I sowed, I'm reaping. You know, now Peggy wasn't, Peggy would vary between being mean as a snake and then being too indulgent. He'd go back and forth like that. Sometimes I'd see him yelling and screaming at the kids, demeaning them. Will you shut up? She's just yelling at us. Then other times she just lets it go. Peg, Peg, you look what's going on here. You're just letting this thing, So she, and that's the way most parents are, especially moms. They're doing dishes. I say, shut up right now. And you did that wasn't what you're supposed to say. And or you just let them go on and on. So moms, it's kind of tough. That's where dads have to be. They have to be cool. You see, I never came in running after the kids or chasing them down or whatever. See, I was bigger. I was stronger. And I was eager to spank them good. See, that didn't bother me at all. But I did it in love. I never did it out of anger. I never running after them, chasing them, hitting on the back or, trying to tackle them or something. If I said to my children, stop, come here, they did not move or run. Because I would have been fierce. Stop, I would say. And they could hear that. For some reason, they could hear that. They could hear the tone of my voice was one of, you ain't messing with me. You see what I'm saying? And I was mean. I could be mean. But mostly it was just play acting. See, because inside I was tender. But on the outside, I sounded mean. Do you see that? I did that for their good. Did you know that everything I did was for their good? I didn't do it for my own good. I didn't do it to have peace in the house. I didn't do it for any reason except God said, do it. And as I and I would tell them that. You know why I have to spank you? It's because God will spank me if I don't spank you. So I got to spank you. Otherwise, I'd have to be spanked. You want me to be spanked? Talk to kids that way, and I don't know, Dad, just spank me. They couldn't work all that out. But I always, you see, parents should be a little bit smarter than kids. Stronger, faster, and there's two of you. Peg, you get on that side of the table. I'll be over here. Because they'll run. They'll get to just run. Isn't that funny? So God's like that too. You cannot outrun God, and you cannot outsmart him. Isn't that neat of God? He's more powerful, David, than you are. He's more powerful than I am. He's smarter than me. He knows how to trap me. Because a little kid, if you start chasing a little kid around the table, he'll run like this. He'll just run, and he thinks it's funny until you run around the other side, and then he's scared because he's going to get caught. He's going to get scared. They hate it. Then all of a sudden they fall apart. And they don't know what to do. Praise God. Well, God has a sense of humor too. When he disciplines you, he's serious about it, but at the same time, he loves you. He loves you with a perfect love. Number one, child rearing is all about yes and no rules. So there it is. You got to learn yes and no rules. I know there's more to it than that, but that's the way it starts out. Yes and no. So let's say the child is 14 months. They're no longer a baby, but they're still just learning to walk and talk and so on. Some kids don't get there until they're 15 months, 18 months. So it could go all the way up to 2 years. There is no such thing as, one age where children are ready. Some are potty trained at 6 or 7 months. A lot of them at 9, but a ton of them at 1, but some at 2, and some probably at 3. I mean, so you don't know. I mean, there's no wonderful way to do it. My kid is on the potty at 8 months. There's nothing neat about that. It just means he's having trouble slumping on that thing. It just, what he's going to do is grow up neurotic. Because he had to early on achieve better than his cousin Allison, or something. So, Bobby's right there on the little potty. You do a poopy. You do a poopy. And he's just trying his best, but he just get up and wander around. Hey, get back on that potty. So he's trying to please you, but it's too much for him. You see what I'm saying? So parenting is not easy. I mean, there are no rule books written down when you do it, and how you do it, and what you say, and how you smile, and how you frown, and all that stuff. But I love child raising. God, I love kids. I love kids. I love kids that are not my kids. I love being around kids. Kids are neat. All kids are neat. I just love them all. So I'm into that. I'm into that. I mean, I wanted to have a ton of kids because I just knew I'd be a great dad. How many dads have that thought? I'm gonna be a great dad. How many moms have that? So it's like, I can hardly wait to be a mom. But some moms don't want to be. Some moms are kind of like scared of the thing, or They're not that eager about it. It's like, kids are kind of tough, kind of, they're not easy. If you babysit it sometimes, some kids are just all wild, and you think, I don't want to have kids. I don't want to have kids. And not every mother is motherly. You know what I'm saying? Till you have one. Then, it's different when you have your own. It's like, hey, this one's mine. And all of a sudden, you get this instinct in you that kicks in. And it's, whatever, who's that lady that bars the door? Whatever that is. Katie bar the door, I think it is. It's like, don't get in mom's way. She's got her cubs, her little kids there, and no one's going to, take that job from her. So, I love it. But it was fun for me. It was exciting for me because I didn't have to be with them night and day. But Peggy had to stay up all night. She's up all night. What? She's just so sensitive. And I don't hear anything. I hit that pillow and it's over. It doesn't take me but, 15 seconds and I'm sleeping. I'm not laying there worrying or whatever. I'm just right there. I just hit the thing. It's like that. Whereas some people are, I don't know, I guess they have insomnia or whatever. They're just thinking all night long. It's like that. Man, I have a cure for that. Get up and read the Bible. If the devil's troubling you like that, just get up and read the Bible. You'll get tired right away. I'll tell you, that'll tire you out right away. So, you just keep reading it. So if you can stay up, good, read the whole Bible. That's a beautiful cure. See what I'm saying? Now, you should go to bed at night because you need all your energy to do this child raising all about yes and no rules. The second part of that, number one, the loving parent learns to say yes, you may, and no, you may not in a, pattern of daily discipline. So you're always saying to a child, and I don't think you can't like say, oh, I don't want to do that. No, you have to do it. No, you may not do that. Yes, that's all right. Mom, may I? Yes, you may. No, you may not. Mom, could I eat this cookie? No, I said no, not until after supper. And you're always yesing and knowing. If you don't like that, you can't be a parent. God's like that. He's got something to say about everything. And a parent is just like God. You gotta watch them night and day continuously until they're sleeping or something. You're right there on them. Where'd you get that shirt? Now take that off. You gotta be right there telling them what to do and what not to do. Hey, where are you going? Just out. No, you don't just go out. See, I was rigid with my kids. Where are you going? You don't walk up. Get over here right now. Now you see the fierceness comes up in me. But it's really, I'm gentle on the inside. I'm just looking fierce. And they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. But I'm doing it for their good, right? I'm not doing it to hurt them. And it's just like, it's interesting to me. Is I remember when I was that age. You just wander off and there's no one watching you. Like Peg would have David breaking the leaves out in the backyard. Within about 30 minutes, he was gone. You couldn't find him. So she would say, Jim, have you seen Dave? I said, yeah, I think he's outside mowing, raking the leaves or something. I don't think he's out there. I just give a holler out the door. He's probably there. Maybe he's carrying the bag to the front. Sure enough, he was gone. And then you yell out into the neighborhood, David, and he finally comes back. What, Dad, what? You're supposed to be doing the leaves. Oh, yeah. It's like he didn't know. Oh, yeah. He said, get there right now. Now I could spank him for, running off like that and disobeying. But I'm a clever parent. You don't always spank because if you spank too much, it's meaningless. So you got to outsmart them. They're smart. You got to be smarter. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, Peg was into let's spank them every time they do wrong. That was her kind of little way. Yeah, I was into, well, just spank them every 10th time or something. Because you don't want to be spanking them all the time. You'll be spanking them all the time. And they just get used to it after a while. Or they just hate you. It's not going to work. You got to have a lot of love in there, too. You got to have some positive in with that negative. You got to have the carrot and the stick, right? So this is just proverbial knowledge of just any human being. You have to be Christian to know this. Any human being should know that. You can't just always be a mean tyrant. It's like a president of a country can't be that way, or anybody. If you're ruling over people, you got to be kind every once in a while. You got to have some rewards, punishments and rewards. So you got to divvy it out just perfectly so that they love you, but they don't take advantage of you. So that you discipline them, but you don't beat them to death. It's be just right. Well, who knows the exact measure? I'll tell you who knows. Someone that loves them. If you love that child, you will know exactly how to spank them. Now, I think David would dispute me on one time, but basically my kids were spanked nicely. I mean, it was really good spankings, just right. But David would say there was a time when I spanked him wrongly. Well, I got on my knees and asked forgiveness. But I don't know that I did spank him wrongly. But it doesn't make any difference. Whether I was too harsh or whatever, I know I was too harsh sometimes. So I got down and asked their forgiveness. Well, God's not like that. When God spanks you harshly, you needed it. You see what I'm saying? And when he's a little too indulgent, you needed that too. Have you ever noticed that about God? Sometimes he's slow to anger. You ever notice that about God? Well, why shouldn't we be the same? Did you see what I just said? Every time they do wrong, be slow to anger. Don't let the anger come up right away. That's just legalism and law. You can't raise kids that way. But then you don't want to overindulge them either. Well, they're just kids. Let them go. Oh, no. So I was on my kids, but at the same time, I was measuring it out exactly between how much discipline, how much love, how much forgiveness, how much, you know, punishment and chastening and so on. Not easy. How much instruction? How much chastening? How much, you know, this? How much this? How much mercy? How much, you know. And it's not easy, but I learned from God. It's in the Bible. It's all written down in the Bible. So one of the greatest ways is read the Bible to the kids. That'll save you a ton. Right there, you don't even have to even know everything. Just read the Bible to them. Little kids will pick that up. They'll hear the story about Joseph. They'll hear the story about Moses. They'll hear the story about Jesus and so on. And they kind of pick it up. Did you know that? You can let the Bible do a lot of your work. So I like reading stories to them at night. They love it. Little kids love that. Dad, read me a story. Mom, read me a story. We read that last night. I know, I like that story. If they like it, you can read it every night to them. This is the same story. And if you make one mistake on one of the words, they'll catch you. Dad, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says, he wanted to do it. You know, they just pick up even your inflection. They want to hear it exactly the way you said it the first time. They got it memorized that way. Little kids are great. And they can read long before they can read just because they remember you reading that story and they don't even have to know what the words say. They just know it. Especially if it's iambic pentameter. You know, those little arch books are usually done in iambic pentameter. So those were great little books. We had 100 of them or 200 or whatever there are. We had a ton of them. And they would say, you know, and Zebedee climbed up a tree and da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and it just kind of flows along like that. And little kids pick up that kind of rhythm and they're kind of sing-songy. And little kids love songs. They love music. Amen? That's another way to raise them. Is raise them with love, raise them with music, raise them with spankings, raise them with everything. You got to have a little of everything. The loving parent learns to say yes you may and no you may not in a pattern of daily discipline, Psalm 24:8, you can read it yourself. Could the commands, yes you may, and the prohibitions, no you may not, establish the boundaries which love directs for the child's safety and happiness? So as a good parent, you learn to say yes and no. Right there. I looked on the page and probably read the wrong number. So write that, 25:8. Monica, you copied that wrong, didn't you? I think I had it right, but you copied it wrong. You copied my wrong writing down. I hate to take blame for something like that. That's a good one. Peggy caught it. You see, husbands and wives work together. It's a cooperative thing. Yeah, that's a typo. A write-o. You'll find in God's Word there are no mistakes, but in Pastor Jim's reading of God's word, there's several. Between the lip and the cup, there's a slip. All right. The commands, yes, you may, and the prohibitions, no, you may not. That's what child raising is all about. Establish the boundaries, the fences, the little corrals that kids stay within, which love directs for the child's safety and happiness. Did you see that? You want your children to be safe? You got to have little corrals for them, little boundaries. No, you may not. Yes, you may. Now, inside the corral, you may, but outside the corral, you got to stay in. No, you may not. Mom, can I go over to Janie's house? No, you may not. You know, how come Bobby gets to go? Bobby's 18. You're only 4. So you cannot. You have to have rules and laws for children. There has to be all kinds of rules and laws. And those boundaries must be based on clear biblical teachings from God's holy word. 119:11. I'm right there, so I should be able to get it. Let's see, 119. Anybody else got it? Go ahead, read it. Okay, so there's a boundary right there. Put a lot of word in your heart, you make little fences, little boundaries. So hide that word in your heart, and it's got little fence posts. It's got little boundaries, little lines that you don't cross. And that shows that everything that you, when you are as a parent, you're not allowed to make up your own arbitrary rules that change from night to today. You can't make up your own rules. Well, today I said this. Well, tomorrow I'm going to do this. No. Every time you give a child a law or a command or a rule or a regulation, make sure it's based on God's word. Did God say that? Do you have foundation to that? You see what I'm saying? So you need to be schooled in the word. How could you teach your child if you weren't schooled in the word yourself? Can't. The authority, number 3, of the parent is built on the higher authority of God as set forth in his holy teachings. The Bible should be read to the child every day in stories and proverbs. So little kids love to hear the stories, whether it's through the arch book or the Bible itself, or, you know, however it is, a lot of storybooks that are written for kids. We had a whole bunch that we read and found. There was a good book that I like a lot. It's real simple. The Bible for Little Eyes or something like that. The Bible for Little Eyes. But there's a ton of them. And we went through them, found which ones they really liked. The Bible for Little Eyes was good because it wasn't very big. Big writing. And then had a nice big picture on the page. And little kids love the picture. The words don't mean anything to them. They love those pictures. And they're looking at the picture while you're reading the words. It's exactly what the writer intended when they made that little book. Dave, do you remember that thing? The Bible or something like that. Bible for Little Eyes or something. So, you know, those are good. Because sometimes you read the Bible and they get lost in the King James thous and these and those's and so on. Eths, you know, sound death. You don't talk like that, so little kids, you know, they don't, but they're trying to learn. But read the Bible to them anyway. I don't even care. By the way, I don't even care if they understand the words or not. It's good discipline for them to listen and know that someone with authority is speaking to me, whether I know the language or not. Just like sitting in church. Who cares that they're bored? Who cares that they don't understand? So what? Be quiet and sit there. It doesn't hurt a child to be right there disciplined while you're, you know, doing a big person thing. You see, when I grew up, I told you, when I grew up, my father said to me, children are to be seen, they're not to be heard. So it didn't matter what I was thinking on the inside. I could be frustrated as all get it. It didn't matter. You shut up. You don't talk. So all you could do was have a coloring book or something and then, you know, do something, but you just had to sit there and not do anything. You were not allowed to contribute to the big people conversation thing. Most kids don't care anyway. And so they're carrying on doing whatever they're doing, and I'm not paying attention. I got a book, or I got a coloring thing, or a crayon, or I'm coloring on the wall, or something. I'm doing something. And, you know, woe if the parent catches me doing the wrong thing. So I'm, you know, very careful, because my dad was a spanker. My dad believed in spanking. That's why I hated him. I hated him because he came in and felt I should be ruled. I felt I should just kind of go as I felt. He felt like I should have rules and regulations. Then he had not only the temerity, the boldness, the chutzpah, to tell me what to do. He would back it up with spankings. And, you know, he was not a big talker. My dad was not a talker. I doubt we had 30 sentences our whole life. He didn't talk a lot, but he could spank quickly. It's like, you know, if I say something, that's it. And that's why I call him Adolf Hitler, because he was just like Adolf Hitler. That's so, you know, and he was just, he had no kindness or gentleness to him. It was just going to stop me. Get in the fence. You know, you're just frozen. He didn't hug me or love me or take me to ball games or anything. I don't say he didn't love me, but I mean, he didn't show it because he was German. I mean, you know, Germans don't show love, not in public anyway. So I never saw it. I don't remember putting his arm around me. Of course, you see, they'd all been divorced and everything like this all over the map. So he had other kids that were, you know, his own real kids. And I was just a fake kid. I mean, I wasn't a real thing. I was born out of wedlock, just nothing, a reject. So, you know, it's no big thing. You get used to it. Little kids adjust. I was totally adjusted to my life, whatever it was, what it is. I learned with him particularly, you did not want to talk to him because he'd find something wrong. He'd go and I'd get another demerit on my chart or something. So I didn't want to even be near him because I know he'll find something wrong. Did you take out the garbage today? You know, no, yeah, I don't know. You know, and that's, I'm just fumbling around. He's going to spank me now. That's it. Puts the demerit on there. I know I just need one more and I got it. My allowance will be gone. Then I'll get a spanking. And, you know, this thing was so rigid, so Adolf Hitler-y, that it was tough. But that's the way he was apparently raised. You know, I don't know how he was raised, but however it was tough on me. And I lived wild till I was, he didn't come into the family till I was 7 or 8. So for the first 7 years of my life, it was just complete wild. No fathers, no men around. We didn't even have any men. Oh, men that came in and, you know, did naughty things and stuff. But we didn't have any men living amongst us. We were just all grandmother and aunt and my mom. And, you know, we were just kind of a wild, trashy kind of bunch. And so that's a neat way to live. As a little kid, it was great. Very creative. You see what I'm saying? We were called poor white trash. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It's just neat. It doesn't bother me. I like that. We were shanty Irish. That's what we were. But that was just on my mom's side. On my dad's side, we were rigid German. So I don't know how those two fit together, but that's the way I was growing up. So when he came in, I didn't like him. I didn't like him at all. But you know what? I thank God for him. And I did before I was done with high school. I realized, you know, this guy who's Adolf Hitler, this is very good for me because I had no respect. I would have grown up a criminal. I'd be in prison today. Wouldn't have gone to college. I wouldn't have gone, you know, married Peggy. Wouldn't have David. You know, Mary, you wouldn't be in the family. You see, what a blessing God who could look down and have a sense of humor and say, I like that boy Jim. He's the only one that liked me. He saw, yeah, there's potential in that boy. All we got to do is kill him. That's all he wanted to do is just get me killed. Then I'd be okay. Let's see, you know, because he tried working with me and I was just not good material to work with. But he just said, I would just kill him. And then we'll raise him up again. Just kill him, smash that pot, break it up, and then start all over again from scratch. Well, that's the way to do it, you see? Do you all understand what I'm saying? So I appreciate what it says in the Bible, is smash him to smithereens. Get rid of all the flesh in him. He's got too much. I was total 100% flesh. 100% guaranteed flesh. You know, whatever is written right on the label. You could see me. I was a liar, a thief, a cheat, you know, a deceiver, a con man. I was all of that by the time I was just a little kid. I was already all that. Well, you know what it says in the Bible about that? That's very biblical, by the way. It says the rod of correction will drive the foolishness out of him. There it is. That's how I learned wisdom. That third father, Adolf Hitler, took that rod up there and just beat that foolishness right out of me. We'd go downstairs. We had a basement. You go downstairs in a dank, dark, you know, basement, pull your pants down, you get a whipping. And he takes that belt off and whacko, whacko, whacko. Oh, man, I'd get your attention. The first wacko makes you mad. The second one gets you a little scared. And the third one, you're frightened. You don't want any more of those. Y'all see that? This was the best thing ever happened to me, but I hated him and I hated it. But it was good for me. Remember what it says in the Bible right here? We read in Psalm 119. I was going astray until the afflictions hit me. That helped me a lot. Amen? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Today, I know it's not politically correct to spank anymore, but we did, and that's the best thing. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I don't believe in, Dr. Spock and, Margaret Mead and all these anthropologists and psychologists and sociologists. They're all liars. They're all anti-Christian. They're ungodly. I don't listen to them at all. We just do it the old-fashioned way. Take them out in the woodshed, beat them. That's the way to do it. But do it in love. I learned that from the Bible. Don't just beat them, but beat them in love. Did you know that love knows how to discipline? And Dave can tell you, I'm not mad when I'm spanking them. I'm not mad at them. I love them. I don't even want to spank them. I don't want to spank them. I'm doing it because it's for their good. And then, kids will tell you later, as I did to my dad. That was good for me. That was good. You stopped me from just going wild. Because if there's no fence, you just break out all over the place. The cows start eating the cabbage, and, you got to tie them down. You got to fence them in, bridle that horse. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So little children need spankings. Do you get spankings? Matthew, do you get spankings ever? No? You're always good? Oh, you need to ask your mom and dad for some. He meant, I don't want them. I know what he said. He said, no, but he meant, I don't want them. He thought I was saying, dude, do you like some? No, I don't like them. Well, that's good. You're not supposed to like them, but they're actually best friend you ever had. You're not going to grow without them. You say, well, I think I'll skip that one. Let's just go by teachings. The faith teachers are like that. They don't have a lot of discipline, by the way. They just think if you can get the teaching in the prayer, tell them who they are in Christ. Tell them who they are in Christ. Tell them who Christ is in them. Then they'll be fine. No, they won't. That's a lie. So you got to tell people, don't do that. That's negative teaching. I don't care if it is or not. That's the correct way to do it. No, you shall not. We're Christians. Righteous of Christ. I'm the righteous of Christ. I don't care who you are. You're getting a spanking and stop it. You can't just go out and divorce. You can't just go and run over the lines. You can't just do what you want. You can't just worship the way you want. Stop. Do it the way God says. Oh, I tell you, that's a blessing. For a wild person like myself to come into, it's like channeling, a wild stream. You got to narrow it down into the gorge, into these banks that are strong. That's the way to harness it. Otherwise, it'll just break out. Did you know you get a lot of power out of that? If you could channel water like that, instead of flooding the whole land and destroying everything, channel it. Put it into little reservoirs. That's the way it is. See, that's putting a child, make sure he's got little lines. Whoa, where are you going? Hey, what are you doing? That channels the little kid into little narrow things. It's 8 o'clock, bed. And if they don't, off with the belt. But in our case, we didn't use a belt. We used a stick. Thing about a belt is a belt belongs to dad, just like a hand. That's dad's hand. How can the hand that loves you also, which holds you and take care of you, also beat you? So we had a stick. It's kind of not of us. See what I'm saying? It's a stick from a tree or from a piece of wood from the lumber company. So we had a stick. I remember that stick was not smooth. It wasn't like a paint stick. It was a little thicker than a paint stick, and it had little bumpies on it. I remember that. And then we wrote wisdom on that stick. And that was the rod that the kids had to go and get. Okay, you go get the spanking stick. They didn't like that because I made them go and get it. I could go and get it, but I made them go and get their own because I want you to think about, you deserve this, you see. So they're on the way to the drawer. Dad, I didn't do it. I won't do it anymore. I swear. I'm honest. Please, Dad, think of Jesus. And, kids are negotiating. Kids are great. That's how you produce lawyers. These are great negotiators. And I allowed that. I said, well, we can talk it over. What is it you think you've done right? I mean, how is it you didn't break the law? And I let my kids talk me out of it. I didn't mind. I don't want to spank them anyway. So, is there some reason why you don't want the spanking? Well, mom said I went like this. I didn't. I went like this. Oh, so you really didn't do it? No, sir. And mom knew they were lying, but it's okay. I'll let them off. Well, are you sure you went like this and not like this? Are you sure about that? Yeah. And you're not going to do it anymore? No. See, you did do it. But I didn't catch the kids. I didn't. I didn't. I didn't. I didn't want to spank them. All I want to do is learn. If they'll learn by just words, great. But I learned after a while, they didn't learn that way. They need that spanking on the bottom. That helps it to last more than 3 minutes. Didn't I say no talking? You're talking again. And they're just like amazed because kids don't learn quickly. Does anybody notice that about church members? They're just like kids. Don't learn quickly. You got to say it a billion times. And I'm patient. I'll say it a million times. I don't care. I don't care how long it takes. We're not going to quit until we get just what we want. You say, well, Pastor, you run people off. Good. Run them off. We'll get some more in here and run them off too until we finally get what we want. How many know that if it's my word, it's worthless, but if it's God's word, we'll get what we want because God always wins. Amen? So I believe that the children God gave to Peggy and myself were gifts of God. They weren't ours. And so we were just stewards. So if he would have spanked them, I spanked them. If he wouldn't have, I wouldn't have. That's all. Just doing his thing. So you build it on the Bible. The authority of the parent is built, number three, upon the higher authority of God as set forth in the holy teachings. The Bible should be read to the child every day, stories and proverbs. It's a fixed, unchanging standard of what is spiritually to be believed about God, and a clear light, clear, 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 as to what is morally right and wrong to be done or avoided by the child. So I'm going to learn all about God, what to believe or not to believe, and I'm going to learn all about how I should behave. Okay? So those two things. A child, three things now, must learn spiritual truth, number four, what to believe, moral character, what to want, and loving behavior, what to do, what to believe, what to want, what to do, spirit, soul, and body. Those are the three things you want to teach a child. Here's what to believe. We believe in Jesus. We don't believe in Hinduism and so on. Then we believe in Jesus. What do I want? You want to please me. I do? Yep, that's what you want to do. You want to please me. And what is it that you want me to do? Loving behavior. No unloving behavior. All loving behavior. So there it is. Now, a child thanks you for that. You made it very clear. And when they deviate from that, you spank them. But maybe you don't start with spanking. Maybe you correct them. And I'll show you some of the things you can do in child raising before you spank. You don't have to do spanking right off. Depends on, what's in order. So you want the children, number four, to please God. They're pleasing you too, but they're really not. They're really pleasing God as he or she grows up. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which says spirit, soul, and body being pure. Five, every command or prohibition, command is what to do, a prohibition is what not to do, given by parental authority in God's name, based on the Bible, ought to be followed by either some form of reward or some form of punishment. A reward might be a smile. So let's say the child does what you say. Get here right now to the table. Then when they get there, smile. Or give them a verbal approval. Well, that was very nice, sweetheart. You did that just right. Or some kind of reward. Because you did what daddy said, this and that, a dessert, whatever. And I would reward the children, or I'd just smile, or I would, it's something that says, what you just did is the right thing. That pleases me. I let them know you're pleased. God does that. God lets you know he's pleased with you. It might just be a smile. It might be a word. It might be some reward. But whatever it is, it reinforces the fact that, hey, it pays off here for me to behave myself. Now, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit here. We're just talking about the law. I think I'll obey. This is not constrained by the Holy Spirit. This is just fearing God, or you get a whipping or something negative. Let's get something positive here. Just purely human legalism. Nothing wrong with that with child raising. I don't want children to actually be good. I just want them to behave. I never told David or any of the girls, really love one another. I just simply said, look like it. You know, just, you know, do what I say. Say to her, I'm sorry. I don't care what you feel like, just say it. And see, that works with kids. Because if they'll just do it outwardly, they've basically done it inwardly. Because a child doesn't want not, they do not want to hypocritically do it. Just tell them, I just put your arm around your sister and tell you love her. They just struggle over that because they cannot, they don't want to. You see, an adult will be a fake, but little kids can hardly fake that. So when they actually do put their arms around them, even though they don't feel like it, love you, it breaks them because little kids hate doing that. They don't want to do it. And they'll even say that, I don't want to. You do it right now, I'm going to spank you. I love you. You know, and they, you can tell their heart is not in that. It's just outward behavior, right? Behavioral modification. That's all we're getting out of them. Just external. I know it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not like they're convicted of sin and they really love their sisters up. But as soon as they do it, they start laughing. As soon as they say, I love you. You know why? Because they do. They do love that other child. They just were, you know, each trying to get it their own way. So that's all I wanted from my kids. Just fake it on the outside. I don't care if you really care or not. Go to bed. That's all I care about. Say you're sorry. You know, eat your food. Chew your peas. Whatever the thing was, you're just going to do what I say because I've said it. And I said it by God's authority. I'm going to back it up with God's power, which is the little stick. It's in that drawer. We always kept it in the... Do you remember what it was, Dave? Where was the stick? Do you remember where we kept it? Exactly. Exactly. They knew right where it was. Even when they were little, it was up there somewhere. They could feel it. You know, we just kept it right there. So they knew exactly. And we went through the same ritual every time. I mean, I'm not going to ask David to say it. But, you know, you go get the little stick. Dad and you walk down the hall calmly. If you're nervous and so on, you get two spankings. So it's kind of calm. You go back into the bedroom. I sit down in my chair. They, you know, get over my knee. I spank them 3 times. They get up. We hug each other and so on and so forth. It's over. It's the same ritual every single time. So they get used to it. Okay, you know, here's what we got to do. Go ahead. You know, and you know, that's the way kids love it. They love it. Do you see that? God's the same way. He's not going to surprise you with some new, today we're going to hang you. You know, no. It's just, it's always the same kind of thing. God is so, he's forgiving. He's merciful. He's loving, you know, and when he punishes you, it's always for your good. It's never to hurt you. Do y'all understand? No arbitrary here. Very just, very fair, and so on and so forth. Okay, a child must learn those things. Now, 5, every command or prohibition given by parental authority in God's name ought to be followed by some form of reward, smile, word of praise, material benefit, or some form of punishment, a frown, a verbal scold, or a physical spanking. So that's the way you do. If you do it right, you get the smile. If you do it wrong, you get the frown. Or if you do it right, you get the word of praise. Or if you do it wrong, you get the word of scold. If you do it right, you get the benefit, or the reward. If you do it wrong, you get the spanking. That's it. It's kind of simple. Now, they're obviously better to get a smile. You see, that's nice. But even better to get the reward. You know. But what you don't want is the spanking. A little scold is not too bad. That shows you did wrong. You know, that was not right. And you can shake your head while you're doing that. No, that's not right. Now, you can say words. You can just have the frown itself. You can do that in church even. You know, and kids can pick that up, right? You know, you just look down the hall or the line, you know, down the bench. And you don't have to say a word. Or you can say, stop that. Or you can take them out back and spank them. I mean, you know, you got various deals there. But whatever you're doing, you're telling them something. It isn't the deal. That it isn't the specific thing. It's that you're teaching them you are under authority and God's power is going to back up his authority. And they're learning you're not God. That's what they're learning. You are not God. There is a God and he dictates. Get in your fence. And that's great for kids. I'm telling you, you'll have the happiest family on earth if you break your children early from their willfulness. And you don't want to do it because of spanking. You want to do it to such a point that if you just whisper it, they're immediately, oh, sorry, sorry, Dad. You want them to fear you. Do you see that? Now, Peggy didn't want that. Peggy wanted him to obey her, but she wanted him to do it because there was a love relationship. I didn't. Just fear me, because I'm going to beat you if you don't. So that I don't care that you love me and all this kind of stuff. I know I love you, but you may not know it for years, but I don't care. I'm not out to be pals or friends or whatever. You're going to do what I say. Do you all see what I'm saying? Do you all see what I'm saying? This is God's way. I learned it in the Bible. God is like that too. To Israel, man, he could be fierce. Right? You read some of the scriptures in the Old Testament, you'll see how tough that guy could be. He was tough. When he said don't, he meant don't. You could be stoned. You know? If you did something that he said not to, he prohibited it. No, you may not. And then you went ahead, you know, willfully, egregiously, just heinously doing whatever you felt like doing. Remember the two sons of Eli? They were like that. Boom, they're dead. Just like that. They're dead. Or Aaron. Aaron had some boys. And they were kind of messing up. Boom, they're dead. They're gone. That's it. I mean, God could be rough. But he's trying to teach you something. Stay within the boundaries. You're not God, I am. And it isn't that you did something wrong. It's that you're not under God's authority. It isn't the particular thing we're talking about. You know, they got drunk or they, you know, whatever. That's not the issue. The issue is break your will, put it under God. That's the law. It's not the gospel. It's the law. Till Israel learned to say, because I'll tell you what, if you've been raised that way, whew, it's really neat when you're forgiven. It's really neat when you're forgiven. If you have no law, they don't care about the gospel. No one's going to care about the gospel if you don't have a law. If you were raised under the gospel and just sweet and nice and, oh, God's friendly and, you know, do whatever you want to do and God won't care because he'll forgive you anything, you won't appreciate the gospel. There is no power of the Holy Spirit to someone like that. Only the bad news makes the good news good. Only the bad news makes the good news good. So you have to, you're not going to understand this, but try to understand this. I mean, you know, just say to the Holy Spirit, I need to understand what he's going to say. You need to look like an enemy when you're actually a friend and know that they aren't going to know that. So the child is saying to himself, boy, Dad is mad. He's rageful. He's about to just crucify me. That's great. See, I wanted my girls to think that. I wanted David to think that. I wanted him to think it. It's alien. It's not what I'm thinking at all. I'm not wanting to spank him. I'm not wanting to discipline him. When I told, you know, one of the children, I won't tell you who, when I tell you one of the children, you're not going to go on a date, but here's what I'll allow you to do. You can go to this particular situation, but you're going to sit in the back seat and he's going to be in the front. And that other couple that's with you, the girl will sit in the back with you and the boy will sit up in the front or vice versa, you know, whatever. But you're not going to be together. You know, so you either want to go or not. Those are the rules. Dad, everyone in school think I'm crazy. I'm a freak. That's good. Very good. You understand me clearly then. So let them think that. Because I don't care what the other kids think. I don't care what the whole school thinks. I don't care what the whole world thinks. We're going to do it Jesus' way. I hate that, Dad. I don't care what you think. All right, you're not going. No, okay. We'll get rid of it. You know, so that's how I just raised them with fear. Y'all see that? And then after a while, they're not as scared of you anymore. So you got to get that in early. Got to get a habit going when they're 2 and 3 and 4, you see. Otherwise, at a certain point, they just blow you off. Do you all see what I'm saying? God's smart, and we can be just as smart as God. Because I know what it takes to break me. So what's it take to break someone else? You're not going to know if you don't learn yourself. If I wasn't wild, I wouldn't know what wild was. But I know what wild was. Now, Peggy always behaved herself and was under the law out of fear. Out of fear. And she just did that. And so she thought her kids would be like that. Well, no, they're not going to be like that just because you stayed in the lines. That doesn't mean they will. Peggy was one that stayed in the lines. I was one that was always walking on the fence and then over on the other side, jumping back and forth, knocking that thing down. I was all over the map. But Peggy was in the lines. She only had 2 sins. I've told you those 2 sins. Now, after a number of years, she's made about 50 kabillion. But at that time, she only made 2 sins. I won't tell what they are. But, you know, she wasn't used to breaking the lines. And one thing, she made a vow when she married me. I will not confront him. That didn't last very long, because I'm wild. And, pretty soon but no, I said I wouldn't confront him. I'm not gonna do it like my mother did and undermine, the dad. But it wasn't long before she wanted to undermine it. She was just finding all kinds of ways to do it, but pretended like she wasn't really doing it. It was hard on her, because at a certain point she just had to say something. She just gotta burst it out. I hate you. That was great. That was such a real moment. Do you all see that? That was hard for her to say that. Y'all see that? Do y'all see that? But I thought it was funny. Boo, I hate you too. There's nothing to me. I don't take people seriously anyway. I hate you. Wow. That's powerful. You're going to hell. Because that's nothing to me. I don't even believe in that. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Now, Peggy actually wondered if she was going to go to hell for saying that. I mean, you have to say that bothered her, but it doesn't bother me because you're not going to go to hell because you say that. Do you see what I'm saying? Hello? But legalism has such a grip on people. What kind of God is he? Is he a God that's angry at us and trying to beat us down into a pulp? Or is he a God that's loving, cares for us? See, behind that stern exterior is a God that will die for you. You'd die for your boy. You'd die for your girls. You'd die for your wife. See? You'd probably die for me, would you? You probably have. And that's good. You see? Yeah. Amen. But you see, God, the only way you can make it through trials and tribulations, difficulties, spankings, and so on, is if you know God's good. The only reason that the church can grow up today at all, because it's not grown up. The church today is wild. The church today is whorish. The church today is out of all lines. It's not the church he wants. But the only way you can have that is to know God's good. And he's not only good because he's kind to you, he's also good because he'll discipline you. He'll bring you through the right fires to burn off the dross and to correct you. So that's the kind of God I need. I want that kind of God. I want that kind of father and mother. All right? Six, all parental authority should have a clear scriptural command or prohibition behind it. If you're going to have authority over a child, that's the only way it can be, you have to have scripture behind it. So that when the child ignores it or disobeys it, there's two of them. One, oh, I don't, did you say that? Oh, I didn't hear you. That's ignoring it. Or, I heard you, but I'm not going to do it. That's the same as rebellion. If I say something and then you didn't really pay attention to it, that's the same as rebellion. I don't make any allowance for that. I don't say, oh, well, maybe you didn't hear me. I know they heard. I'm kind of loud when I say it. For example, I've told this church many times, do not sin. Have I not? Don't. Have I not said that? I've made that clear. Stop all sin. Spotless, bride without spot or wrinkle. Have I not said that? Yeah, I've said that. So it's clear. It's just that you can ignore it. Well, other pastors don't say it. Ah, there you go. You just watered it down. You just, or completely just, well, I know that's right, but I'm just going to disobey. Okay, so you're either going to do it one way or the other, either ignore it or disobey it, right? But that's okay because that weighs upon the people. I don't have to even get up and rebuke people for doing it. I can just do nothing. Because the command was clear. You need to worship God. When it said to you, worship God only and don't do any good works, it doesn't matter if somebody says, well, I didn't understand that. Well, who's my neighbor? Did you see how they tried to get out of it? Jesus said, you got to love your neighbor. Said, well, who's my neighbor? That kind of talk shows how smart aleck they are. That shows that they were rebellious. You see? So he told a little story on them. It's okay, let me tell you the story about. Prodigal and so on. No, not, that wasn't the prodigal. That was the Good Samaritan. But the point is that Jesus still loves them. Even though Israel has rebelled all these years, ignoring his commands and disobeying his commands, he still loves her. He won't give her up. He made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. He made a promise. He can't break his promise. It's not up to Israel to do it. It's up to God to do what he said he'd do. It's going to have a holy people. I mean, they're going to be holy. And the church is going to be amazed when you see Israel restored by the work and power of the Holy Ghost and using us to make, through our mercy, them jealous. Then you'll know there's a God. It's going to happen in our day. Now, quick, soon. It's happening already. Israel's already being tenderized. Her hard heart is beginning to soften. It's beginning to melt a little bit. You know why? Because of the mercy. They saw, you know, if you could love those lousy Gentiles, maybe you could love us. I mean, they are really, they're not right. They've holocausted us. They sent their Adolf guy on us. And we don't like them. But if you could love them, and they seem to be doing well, we're your chosen people, but we don't seem to be doing so good. And right now, Europe is cooking up a big one for Israel. They're siding with the Muslims. They're siding with the guys that want to get them. And Europe is no longer on the side of Israel. That's making them think about that. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Whoa, what's going on here? Where's our pals? Where's our friends? America? America's divided. I'm telling you, you get in the Democratic Party, you may find that Israel will not have a friend in the Democratic Party. So I'm telling you, they're thinking about this seriously. The Muslims are, you know, probably funding the Democrats. They got tons of money. And they got all kinds of ways they could funnel money through all kinds of dummy organizations. They might be funding some of those guys on the Democratic side. Well, what about the Republican side? Well, a lot of the Republicans are weak too on the thing. You know, I don't know about Israel. I don't know. This looks like we're getting more and more. You know, if we identify with them, we could get hurt. So a lot of Democrats and Republicans are beginning to fade away from Israel. And are the Jewish wonderful people? No. Are they nicer than everybody else? No. Have they been kind to their neighbors? No. Have they obeyed all God's laws? No. Do they deserve what they're getting? Sure. But you still got to ask God, God, do you love them? Yes. Did you make a promise that you got to keep? Yes. Are those your children? You can't spank your children to destroy them. You can only chasten them to love them and build them up and keep your promise. So God made a promise. If he doesn't keep his promise to Israel, you think he'll keep the promise to the church? Well, yeah, because we're Christians. Okay, cool. That's not why he's going to do it. If he doesn't keep his word to them, he won't keep his word to you. If Romans 9, 10, 11 mean anything, they mean something. Do they deserve it? Absolutely not. Did we? Absolutely not. That's why the mercy thing, it's something to make them jealous. Hey, we were no good. We didn't do, I mean, we've had the gospel all these years, and what did we do with it? Persecuted a bunch of Jews with it. That was one thing we did with them. You know? And they deserved it too. So, does that mean because the mother then doesn't care for a child? Does that mean God the Father doesn't care for his beloved bride? I think you better be careful. Because God never forgets the bride of his youth. That was Israel. He's going to have her purified. She may have whored all these years. She'll be a virgin when he's done with her. If he has to kill her and then raise her from the dead, he will. Did you hear what I just said? You know, don't worry about God. You know, how can he let her back? Well, maybe he's going to kill her. That's maybe how he's going to do it. But my point is this. You're not talking physical. You're talking spiritual. And it says in the Bible that she will come back. So you see, when you discipline a child, it's for their good. It's for their happiness. It's for their safety. It's for their benefit. You don't discipline kids ever in wrath. God does not discipline anyone in wrath. If he's going to have wrath, you're done. You're finished. You're destroyed. You're out. There's no more. No, no, no. God is chastening. That's totally different. That means spanking you for your good with hope. And you can rejoice in it because you needed that. It's for good. That spanking that he's given you is actually helpful to you. It's getting rid of the flesh, the willfulness, the selfishness. But it's keeping the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It's keeping all the good stuff and getting rid of all the bad stuff. That's a good thing. Right? So child raising's like that. Teach them the law, but then introduce the gospel at the right time. You see, afflict them and then hug him. Right after I spanked, David was the best one. David, of all the children, David was the best. I would spank David, he would cry, and immediately we would, you know, hold each other. And David would say things like this. The others didn't do it. He'd say things, "Dad, I'll never do it again, I swear." And it's like, well, I didn't need to spank you if you're that broken over it. But whether he was sincere or not, I have no idea. But I fell for it every time. Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't have spanked him, you know. He seems to be so tender about the whole thing. "Dad, I swear I'll never do that again. I mean it too." You know, and I believed him. I said, well, there's no point. A guy like that, sometimes no even spanking. He'd just start breaking down like that. And I didn't know if he was play acting or not. Do you see that? I don't even want to know. I don't even care. That didn't matter to me. Because I'll tell you what, if he's faking it, you know what? I'll catch him again. A guy that's faking it is faking it. That means he'll say he won't do it again, but he will. And if he's really broken, then you don't need to. Do you see what I'm saying? So even though that was clever, maybe he tricked me, but maybe he didn't. Who knows? Who cares? There's plenty of spankings. Spankings will come up. You know, Peggy was always wanting to catch him every time. She lied to me. She told a lie. Well, okay, well, she's a liar. We'll catch her again because she'll lie tomorrow. We'll just wait till tomorrow to catch him. You know, save the spanking for today. We'll get it tomorrow. No, she did wrong and I want her spanked. We're not just punishing them for their sin. We're punishing them with the idea of improving them, of getting them to know the love of God. Punishment's always done by love. A father who loves his son chastens him. Did you see that? Not a father who hates his son. A father who hates his son won't even deal with him. He will indulge him. People that are in prison today are not there because they had a hard life. It's because they were spoiled rotten. The majority of prisoners are spoiled rotten. Some parent bailed them out every time, and now they're in prison because nobody ever told them, hey, you know, be responsible. They're just indulged. You think they're all poor prisoners. No, 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 no. Most of the prisoners, most of them, the majority of them, spoiled rotten. Mom always took up for them. Maybe dad was drunk and so on and so forth, but mom took up for them. And they got somebody who's always bailed them out. That's what prison is full of. People that feel sorry for themselves. Well, I shouldn't be here. Yes, I killed the guy, but you know, he deserved it. You know, I mean, you're not God. God does not say vengeance is yours. I remember we had a church member who said that. I killed, you know, 13 or 14 or 15 people, whatever. He said, well, but I never killed anybody that didn't deserve it. Well, great. That is so wonderful to hear that. They all deserved it. And you were wonderful to be able to do that for God. I'm sure he appreciated that. Do you all see what I'm saying? But for some reason, we went back in the back room, and he wept over each one that he had done whatever he had done to him and explained it. And then we forgave it. For some reason, he had guilt. And I say this, they didn't deserve it. He was not God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You don't take matters in your own hands. So the Jesse James, you know, approach to, you know, cleaning up, Robin Hood cleaning up of society doesn't work. You got to make sure you're under God. So I introduced him to Jesus. It's powerful. God saved. I'm sure he's in heaven. But I believe it's not because we indulge him. So, oh, well, you know, you seem to be kind of nice these days. Or maybe you're worn down. I mean, know that just when you get older, you kind of lose the trigger. You know, it's like, well, you know. Hello. People do not grow up by getting old. You have to be disciplined. Amen? Break the child when he's young. When he is young, train up a child in the way he should go when he's young. When he's a child, then when he's old, he won't depart from it. But if you indulge them when they're young, they'll be indulged for the rest of their life. Hey, they always want it easy. America's that way now. America's so spoiled. We're spoiled by everything. We got way too much. People in other countries have nothing, and they appreciate everything they get. But we appreciate nothing because, oh, well, you know, 2 television sets, 5 television sets, 3 cars, 15, you know. We just indulge ourselves all over the map. And the richer you get, the more toys you can have. Poor people have a couple of toys, but rich people got, you know, lots of them. This is a total spoiling. That's why America is due for a judgment. And that means we'll go along right with it, right? I mean, you're not going to be spared when the bad guys are getting it. You don't think God's going to ignore you all, do you? But please ignore me, God. I was good. Well, I mean, did you pray for those people? Were you witnessing to them? Well, no. Well, then your sinful is greater than theirs. Your sin is greater than their sin. Because you had the truth and you didn't even deliver it to them. Well, how are you getting off? Well, I did everything right. No, you didn't. You didn't do anything right. You just took care of yourself and you forgot all those people. Well, they were bad. Aren't people funny? People, somehow we want to come off innocent. We're all guilty. Amen? We're all guilty equally. Before the cross, there are no differences. The cross is a great equalizer. It just equalizes everybody. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The parent, okay, number six. All parental authorities have a clear scriptural command or prohibition behind it so that when the child ignores it or disobeys it, the parent may enforce it by fair and just punishment, administered in love until the child learns to fear the voice of parental authority and to love God's holy law. Psalm 119:97. So what you're doing in child raising is get that child to obey. Get them to fear. Most people today have no fear of God. They have no fear of God. They don't care. They don't care that they divorced. They don't care that they had an abortion. They don't care that, you know, they watch too much TV. They don't care that they overeat. They don't care about anything because they have no fear of God. Man, you can't just get away with murder. I live that way. I'm telling you, it's a scary way to live when you live that way. You can't just do what you wish. You sow, you reap. Now, Jesus is saying, you sowed, I'll reap it. And he did right there. But if you choose not to believe in him, you got to then reap what you sowed. If you won't let Jesus reap what you sowed, which he's willing to do, then you're going to. That's why you got to teach children spiritually and morally. And physically, you got to teach them in every way. So you got to back it up with force. You got to back it up with force. It's got to be fair. It's got to be punched, but with love. Until they learn to fear the voice of parental authority. No law, 7, should be given to a child unless it's for his benefit. The benefit and good of the child. The purpose of all laws, rules, regulations, strictures should be for the safety and happiness of the child. Happy is the child who learns to trust and obey the voice of God through his or her parent. Hebrews 12:10-11. Beautiful scriptures. Read them. A verbal correction should always be firm but loving in order to prevent the child from being strong-willed. So when you verbally correct the child, stop that. And if they're strong-willed and self-assertive, you say these words. You are going to do what mommy says or daddy. You are going to do what daddy says. You are not going to do what you want to do. Now, you cannot just say that in some kind of sweet little way like this. Now, sweetheart, you do what mommy says. How many can tell there's not a lot of authority to that? And a lot of mothers who have little soft voices, you're not going to discipline a child that way. Get over what? Yeah, right. Because it's like a skunk coming in your house. You're not going to say, skunky, please go out. They're not going to go out. Or a boar or something running to your house. You gotta yell them out. Or a snake. Get out of here. You cannot just have them go like, please, would you please go? You can't be like that. Now, kids, would you all just, let's just behave ourselves. Let's just all be nice. You don't reason with children. There is no reasoning with children. You don't reason. I don't care what you come up with, they'll come up with a way out. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't reason with children. Well, the reason you need to go to bed is, don't tell them the reason to go to bed. Just get out the stick and spank them. Then they'll understand reason. That's how they learn wisdom. Whoa, dad's going to spank me. That's how they learn wisdom. Now, the reason you need it is because you need 8 hours sleep and so on. Then they'll figure out a way around that. Kids are smart. You give them a reason, they'll come up with another reason. They'll figure a way out of your little reason. No, the reason you're going to do it is because I said you're going to do it, and I'm going to beat you if you don't. Well, they're right there. That ends all the reason stuff. We don't have that anymore in school. Teachers cannot teach today because there's no discipline. There's no fear. There's no authority. There's no power. There's nothing. That's why our nation is corrupted to the hilt. Parents cannot discipline their children. They will not. They refuse to. And by the way, just because the state tells you to do something doesn't mean you can disobey God on that. When God says discipline your children, when he says spare the rod and spoil the child, he means it. I don't care what the state says, kill me. I don't care what, I'm not afraid of the state. I'm going to do what God says. I fear God. I don't fear man. Did you hear what I just said? We have lost the kind of manliness that I'm talking about. We don't have that in our society anymore. When my dad was a young boy, there was manliness. Today, there's no manliness. Today, men are wimps. Well, whatever the state says, you know, I want to get along. And I don't want to lose my job. And what fear? There was a day when men would stand up no matter what the cost or consequence. Do you hear me? Today, they'll sell out for a bribe. Well, you know, and that's weakness. No, what are you afraid of? Who's afraid? Why be afraid? Don't teach children that. Nine, almost done. A physical spanking should be administered to a disobedient child, but only after he or she is of age, probably after 14 months or 18 months or something like that. Using a wisdom stick with three firm hits on the bottom, neither more nor less. Two hits won't do it. One hit certainly won't do it. Four hits is too much. But never done in anger or without love, and always followed by a loving hug in the arms or lap of the parent to fully restore the relationship. I never told my kids after the spanking, now you go to the room and think about it. There's no go to the room and think about it. The spanking is the end. Once the spanking is administered, there's nothing more to be done. Once Jesus dies on the cross, God has no more wrath. You have full restoration of the relationship. And I'm telling you, that's one of the greatest moments for a parent, is when a child has just been disciplined to hug you and restore that relationship. Like, you know, I wasn't mad at you. I was mad at the deed. We've spanked for the deed, so now there's nothing between us. There's nothing left. It's not like, for the rest of your life, I'm going to remember this moment. No, it's over with. The spanking ended it. The spanking is all I want. I'm satisfied, saith the parent. Besides, if a child continues in disobedience, it's the parent's own rebellion. It's the parent's own rebellion. So God, seeing Israel disobeying, you know who's going to take responsibility for it? God. Israel's still disobeying. To this day, 2,000 years later, she's still disobeying. What's God going to do about it? Not going to put the pressure on Israel to shape up. He's going to remember his promise, his covenant. He will do it, whatever it takes. If he has to weep, cry, laugh, dance, I don't care what he has to do, he will do it because he made a promise and he always keeps his promise. Besides, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows that Israel will turn back to him. And I'm telling you, I fear God so much that when God says they're going to turn back, I know they are. They're turning back already. But I don't have to see it to believe it. I believe it long before I see it. It's only amazing in our day we can begin to see Israel softening toward the church, which once was an enemy, and now it's softening toward God. There are many, many Jewish people are turning to the Lord now, who once hated the Lord. Last one. Children will learn obedience best by the staff of learning and instruction, coupled with loving approval and a happy reward. But it should be accompanied, if they're going to learn obedience, by the rod of correction and punishment, chastening rebukes with spankings if necessary, to break the child's open defiance and willfulness without breaking his or her spirit. Break their will, don't break their spirit. Or without making the child feel hated or rejected as a person. You see, when you spank a child, you're rebuking him, you're not rejecting him. A rebuke is not a rejection. If I rebuke you and say, you've done wrong. Oh, Pastor, you've hurt me. I feel you hate me. I don't hate you, I love you. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you the truth. Why should I lie and play a game with you? If I love you, I will chasten you. I will tell you the truth instead of playing a game. Well, let's just counsel and talk forever. It's just worthless. Why not, when you see something was wrong, just tell them the truth? Holy Spirit has showed me right here. The problem in your marriage is you are whatever. And you just tell them the truth. I don't need the counsel to get there. I can see it right away. The Holy Spirit reveals it. In fact, even before I get there, I never met the person in my life. I don't need to. I already know. The Holy Spirit tells me supernaturally, this is the problem right there. And how do I know that? Because I pray. I ask God. He knows everything. I don't need to hear their story or whatever else. You're not breaking the child's spirit. You're breaking their will. I'm not breaking your spirit, who you are. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. I'm just breaking your will. You're not going to do what you say. You're not going to do what you want. You're going to do what's right. And you're just going to outwardly, legalistically get behavior. But that quiets them down so you can preach the gospel to them. Because when they disobey, boom, all of a sudden all kinds of things happen and their eyes are opened and they realize, whoa, I am willful. It's what he said. I remember I've told so many members, you have a problem of whatever. And they will leave the church when I tell them that. Well, I don't have to stay here. Listen to that. I remember telling this one man, he's dead now. This one man, a very prominent financial person here in town, with the upper crust. And I told him, you're immature. You need to sit down and, learn. He just walked out. Never came back. He didn't want to come back. Then one day, several years later, he came back. I remember meeting him out at the front door. I was like, wow, you're back. What'd you come? He said, I came to apologize. I came to say I was wrong. You were right. I was immature. Isn't that amazing? The other minister right here at a church just a few blocks from us here, that church took him in right away, made him the head of all their finances and everything else. We could have had all his money and all of his power and finances. I let it go. I told him, no. Why lie to you? Here's the truth. You're immature. And that church took him in. He was the chief. It was their favorite achievement. I threw him away. Somebody else picked him up. I knew that. I knew he'd go straight to that church. And that pastor, he was happy to get him. Their finances went up, and they needed millions and millions of dollars. This helped them out a great deal. Larry doesn't know who I'm talking about, but Larry's acquainted with what I'm talking about. And that person came back and said, you were the only one that spoke the truth to me. Thank you. Now, I went to another meeting, and someone just spoke this weekend. That's why I'm here. And they said, thus and so and thus and so, you were right. And I saw it. I was convicted. I had to come back and tell you. Isn't that powerful? So I was there at the funeral then. That's happened 100 times. You don't always get the credit. You say, I don't want credit. Truth is truth. Amen? If you love your children, tell them the truth. Don't be their pal and their friend and get some kind of deal going. Anybody can indulge a child. You can spoil them. Kids love that. But it's destroying them. Dad's fighting for the children, so he's going to spoil them. Mom, somebody's got to discipline them, so she's trying to do it. It's all out of whack. So God is teaching us about child rearing. Is it easy? No. But does it work? Yeah. Still works today. Do it the way God says. Rod, staff, do both. Instruct them, also discipline them, also teach them about Jesus and his mercy and his power. So now we got all of it. The way you're going to raise your children is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're going to raise them under the law. You're going to raise them under the gospel. You're going to change their character. You're going to change their behavior. You're going to change their spirit. You're going to change everything. Who does that? God. God does that. I can't do any of that. You and I can't do any of that. When we raise our children, they're not ours. They're his. Let God raise them. All right. Hope you were blessed. Hope you were blessed tonight. We're talking about child raising, but we're really talking about us because we're children of the living God. And how will God deal with us as we deal with our children so God deals with us? Or as God deals with us so we deal with our children? The best is yet to come. Amen? All right. Any questions? Anybody have a question? David is going to answer those questions if you have any. Okay.